What's poppin', my Freeform Renegades? You are tuned into the Freeform Network. Thanks for joining us for another fun episode of Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Noel, with my co-host, Daniel.
Yes, sir. Just came in, man. It's kind of raining and dreary, man. I know yesterday was a nice sunny day. I was kind of took it for granted. I'm like, I'll enjoy the outsides tomorrow. But yeah, started raining, so kind of sucks. Should have taken advantage of yesterday.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is a little gloomy today. And we don't have Andy here today, but it's going to be the two of us here. Wherever your listeners are, we hope you're feeling good and relaxed, and we're going to jump right into this one. And we're going to start it off with you, Daniel. It looks like you were playing Star Wars Clone Wars. Is that right?
It was actually the TV show, but I do think they got a video game for it as well. But yeah, I don't know if you ever got into the animated Clone Wars that they did a few years ago.
I do recall it coming out, and I had, I think, a couple of episodes that I watched, but no, I didn't really get into it. Not that I didn't get into it, but I just haven't gotten around to it, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just looking a quick check here. It looks like it's 7 seasons. It was one of those that there was a hiatus from the last couple seasons, and I don't quite recall what was the story behind that. I feel like it was like gonna get canceled or something. And this is what I remember from the stories on why it had that hiatus, but it was gonna get canceled, and they brought it back, and they decided, all right, let's do one more season, and we'll close it out and close up this chapter of the Star Wars. But yeah, 7 seasons is a lot for an animated, especially the start of it, those first couple seasons. It's not like seasons they are like today where it's like 10 episodes. These were like old school 30 episode seasons. So it's quite a bit of animation, quite a bit for any kind of TV show nowadays. Most shows are 10, 12 episodes tops, and that's kind of it. So yeah, man, this is something that I watched when it first came out. It came out in 2008 was the first season, and it never got to finish the whole thing because, like I mentioned, they stopped for whatever reason. But I just recently picked up Hulu and Disney for the Thanksgiving sale that they had for like $1.50 a month or whatever it was. And I decided, let me finish this Clone Wars now that it's finally wrapped up. They got the final season. Let me see how this thing ends. And yeah, it was okay. It was a little rushed at the end. The other part that I had that has nothing to do with the show is that I don't know if you've ever gone back to like an old TV show that you had watched a few seasons. Do you start back all the way at season one, or do you pick off around where you think you left off? I don't know how you usually handle that.
I guess it would depend on the hiatus. Like, how long has it been? If it's a show that is like pretty detailed, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I don't really remember, I'll definitely watch the whole thing. And it all depends, really.
For this one, 7 seasons, especially, like I mentioned, 20, 30 episodes about a season, it's quite a bit. So I decided to watch a recap of like season one, and then a recap season two, recap of season three. And I think I started like 4 or 5 where I just started watching it again. Even though a lot of them were things that I've seen already, I finally got to the point where I'm like, all right, this looks kind of newish. I don't recall this too much. And yeah, man, it was good. It was good to finally finish it, just put it behind me. So, it could be something that's not going to linger in the background or something that I have started, but never finished. The animation is really cool. It's in the lore of the Clone Wars. So it's between episode 2 and episode 3, and episode 2 and 3 with the newer stuff. So it's not A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back or Jedi. It's the one before right. that, the 3 before that. Right. So, yeah, it's pretty cool to see Anakin. He's still conflicted because now he's dating Padme. And, you know, he's all in there and he's dealing with, you know, doesn't want to lose her. And you could kind of start seeing the Vader in him. And so it's really cool. Obi-Wan is awesome seeing him in there. And especially since I just saw the Obi-Wan TV show, it was cool seeing that old school Obi-Wan again. So, yeah, it was good to put it behind me. Not that bad of a TV show. Definitely the first couple seasons were more of the stronger stuff, but it ended okay.
Yeah, I heard there was a few characters that were introduced in those animated that ended up making it live action, like in The Mandalorian. You had, I think it was Ahsoka or something like that.
Right. Yeah, that's probably one of the main characters that the Clone Wars developed. I think it's Ahsoka or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's like one of the main characters in the Clone Wars. And yeah, now she has her own little spinoff TV show. I haven't watched it just because I saw the trailer and I'm like, man, I'm not really feeling it. I'm kind of digging some of the other stuff, like Andor looks pretty cool. I saw that trailer. So I think of the next Star Wars TV show series, I'm thinking of picking that one up. But I also need to finish Mandalorian. I only watched the first two seasons. And I know they're, I think, in season four now, or at least they finished season three. So definitely have to go back and finish that guy up. But gaming related, like you had mentioned, I did finish Dead Space, the remake, the PlayStation 5 version. I don't know if you ever played the original or if you even played the PlayStation 5 version.
So I beat the original on PC. It's got to be like almost a decade ago, but it was a really fun game, and I still haven't gotten around to beating 2 and 3 yet. But the OG, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I finished the original one as well back in the day when it came out, and I finished part 2 years back, but part 3 I never got into. I know they kind of diverted a lot from the core mechanics of what makes Dead Space. It was a really different. So I never got into it and I never played it. But as far as the remake for PlayStation 5, awesome remake, man. This thing has a bunch of atmosphere. The lighting looks cool. The graphics look awesome. The sound with the PlayStation and its 3D audio, it's very awesome. Most of the time, the time I get to game is usually in the morning. So like today, Sunday, I'll get up in the morning and I'll do some gaming before the family even gets up. And I'm usually gaming in my headset. And games like this with 3D audio, your headset on, it just really sucks you into the game. And the 3D audio was just awesome in this game. The lighting, like I mentioned, really creepy atmosphere. A lot of the, you know, main scares I already kind of knew about because I remembered the game, but it was still cool to watch it and play it again and play the whole thing through. It took me quite a while to play it. For whatever reason, I just wouldn't get time to really play it. So it took me a good month or so to finish this game. But yeah, on off to the next one. I'm kind of flirting with a smaller size game. I'm not really sure. But Dead Space was definitely a big, meaty game. Is it something that you're curious to do for the remake?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I would probably want to get it on PC. The only thing that I'm not really using my PS5 for is like first-person shooters, which, you know, Dead Space is pretty much, that's a shooter, you know? Even though it is third-person, it's focused a lot on the combat with shooting. And I just really don't like using a controller to line it up and all that. And I found, especially like with other games, like Resident Evil, for example, is another third person that you end up shooting a lot and you have to use the combat. So I feel like PC is going to be smoother for me.
Oh, cool. Yeah, definitely a must recommend to anybody that's a horror fan, especially if you played the original. This is better in every which way. Definitely a good play. And as for my next game, I'm kind of flirting with, like I had mentioned, a smaller game. So I don't know. I'm kind of thinking of I don't know, man. I'm still kind of I actually just beat it yesterday, so I'm still kind of like in flux on what do I pick up next? What do I play next? I got a bunch of stuff in my media bar that, you know, little games that you get with PlayStation Plus. So I'm thinking of playing one of those because some meaty ones that I have. Next, I got God of War, Ragnarok, which I've been kind of holding off because it looks really awesome. And I know you recommended it. So I'm kind of like holding that in my back pocket. I'm like, I'm going to keep this until things get kind of dry and I don't have anything to play. And what else meaty do I got? Oh, I picked up that the Guardians of the Galaxy, the game that came out with. Supposedly people keep saying that that's really good. So that's kind of a medium-ish kind of game. So I'm kind of thinking of playing that maybe next. But first I might drop into like an indie game and see how that goes.
Cool.
But yeah, something else. Ooh, maybe you're interested in this. I think you've watched this, or I'm pretty sure you watched it. I watched Brightburn with Junior because he had never seen it before.
Nice.
I had seen it, you know, a year or so ago, but Junior was hanging out with us, you know, luckily because, you know, these teenagers, they want to hang out by themselves. They don't want to hang out with dad and mom anymore. But he was kind of by us, and he's just like, yeah, you want to watch a movie? He's like, yeah, sure. So I put this one in thinking that he would like it. And sure enough, man, as soon as the movie was over, he's just like, dad, is there a part two? Let's watch part two. And I'm like, no, not yet. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're probably working on it.
But dude, you actually know what? Yesterday I saw a new, now that you bring this up, I saw a news article or a headline. They canceled the sequel, man. They were working on it. For whatever reason, they I think the whole the DC extended universe or whatever, they're rebooting it. Then they're not gonna do Brightburn 2 now. They were working on it too. It's a bummer, man.
Really? Oh man, I was so hyped because after we watched it a week or so ago, and right after I went and Googled, and they're like, yeah, it's in production and blah blah blah. So I told him, I'm like, yeah, it looks like they're working on part two, and he was really hyped. He's like, oh man, hopefully it comes out soon. But I assumed you watched the first one. Really awesome movie, man. It's got, for you guys that don't know, it's like if Superman, you know, born Superman, like a young kid Superman, is brought up but does not have a good moral compass and kind of just goes around wrecking havoc. And that's kind of the premise of it, but it's got a little bit of a thriller horror twinge to it because obviously when you think about Superman and his powers, he could really use it for some really evil stuff. So really cool movie. Just everything about it is really awesome. And I know Superman himself in the comics have kind of visited something like this before with the main character Superman, but nothing this extreme. They've done like the Red Sun Superman, I think is the name of the comic, where what would happen if he landed in Russia during the Cold War and him being brought up as, you know, like a Soviet soldier. And that was a cool kind of twist to it. But this is definitely like turned up to 10. I assume you watched it. Do you remember?
Yeah. So I watched this actually, I think when it came out, I might have seen it in theaters. I can't quite remember, but for sure I've watched it at least once. And dude, I agree. It's a really cool movie for as like a superhero, but he's not even really a hero. Like you said, he's more like a villain, and that ended up being more like a horror movie because what is Superman if he's a villain? It'd be pretty horrifying. So yeah, seeing him, the little kid, just, you know, flip the script and just go all apeshit on everybody, man, dude, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it like I mentioned, until you just mentioned it a few seconds ago, I was kind of like fan fiction in my head. I'm like, man, I wonder what the sequel is going to be about. There's a portion of the movie where his ship that he came down in is like repeating a message for him to like conquer the world or something. And so I'm like, man, is the sequel going to show more characters coming down and be like, all right, we brought you down so you can do the preliminary stuff on conquering the world. Now here's the rest of our army. Or is a counter agent going to be sent and be like, all right, you sent, you know, this one guy to prepare the destruction of Earth. Well, here's the guy that's going to combat that, which we sent out to kind of try to help save the Earth. And then Junior's just like, yeah, man, it's going to be cool. I don't know if they're going to put somebody to his equal to kind of fight him. Otherwise, how do you fight this guy with just modern technology? So we were just, after the movie, we were just talking about different possibilities. So kind of sucks to hear that it might not be anymore.
Yeah, I'm actually just looking it up just to verify. And there's like so many different websites with the same headline. James Gunn says, we're not getting a Brightburn sequel. And they all just say it in different ways. James Gunn gives disappointing update. All sorts of stuff like that. So, yeah, it looks like James Gunn being in charge of this, the DC universe, him rebooting everything, all new characters. Yeah, it looks like we're not getting a sequel, man. But, you know, I wouldn't lose hope yet, because things can change and maybe you can be convinced to bring it back if it fits, you know. And the thing is, the kid that played the main villain, he's gonna grow up, you know, so maybe it would be a cool thing to see, I guess, the adult version of Brightburn.
Right. Yeah, that would be kind of cool. But you mentioned DC, but I didn't know Warner Brothers had anything to do with Brightburn in general. I know it's kind of Superman-ish, but I didn't know that Warner Brothers had anything to do with this. I'm just Googling it right now. Looks like distribution says Sony Pictures, and then publication companies, Screen Gems, Stage 6, Troll Court. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, it does say it's part of Gunn's production film. So I guess James Gunn does have something to do with it, or at least he has a thumb in it. And now, since he's probably in DC mode, maybe he doesn't have time to do this, even though it's probably not related to the DC universe. He probably just doesn't have time for this side project anymore.
Yeah, I guess I was confusing. I did have a feeling like it was related to DC, mainly because it's kind of like a Superman concept, but yeah, right. I guess maybe not. Maybe it's just the studios itself that, because it involves the guns, you know?
Right. Yeah, I could see it being in that universe, in which case then it would be easier to find a combatant for him if they were going to do a part two. But yeah, I always picture that as just its own universe, regular old boring Earth, and this guy comes down and just starts causing havoc. So yeah, that kind of sucks.
You know, since you like Brightburn, have you ever seen the movie Chronicle?
Doesn't sound familiar.
So this one, I have it on DVD. Let me give me a second here. Or on Blu-ray, I mean. Yeah, this one came out 2012, and it's a similar concept. It involves, like, high school kids, and it's kind of like Super 8 meets right. Brightburn. It's okay. Like a combination of them two. So it involves three kids that get these powers, and yeah, one of them does not handle it well. So it's actually really, really good. If you like Brightburn, I recommend the Chronicle next.
Excellent, man. I'm going to have to definitely check that one out, because like I mentioned in last episode, I just watched with Junior Super 8, and he had never seen that before. And he was like really pumped. He's like, oh, this is a good movie. And then Brightburn was the follow up to it. So maybe now I bring both of those movies together with this Chronicle from 2012. So I'll definitely have to check it out and watch it.
Sure, man.
Another movie that I watched, just to kind of wrap up my week here, I watched Blue Beetle. Now, this is in the DC universe. I'm not sure if you watched this. This was maybe not one of the better DC movies, at least in my opinion. But Junior and Alana really dug it. Was it something that you've seen or you even know about?
You know, it's funny you say that, man. I actually did watch this. I ended up finding a copy digitally online right around the time it came out. I think they actually did a digital release around the time it came out, and in theaters too. And it had the guy from Cobra Kai.
Right.
And so I was intrigued. I was like, all right, let me check this out. It has George Lopez and a few other recognizable people on there. So, I did watch it. It's funny that you say you didn't really like it, but Alana and Junior did, because I actually enjoyed it. But when I brought it up to Afrin, who's also seen it, he actually didn't like it that much either.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about it. It was just like, it seemed like, who's that, Medina, the Medina movies? It seemed like that. It seemed like too over the top, you know, like Martin Lawrence goofy movie. And which is funny, because when I saw the trailers, I'm like, I bet you this is going to be a good movie. Kind of like Shazam, because I thought Shazam was funny, goofy, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, it had that flavor to it. And so I felt like, I'm like, this is going to be right up my alley. It's going to have like that goofy, comedic, while it's having some serious stuff in the background kind of things. But yeah, for whatever reason, either the comedy wasn't hitting me, which is weird because it's a Latino character. So I thought, like, for sure, I'm like, this is like everything that I dig. It's DC, so Superman's universe. It's comedic. It's Latinos. I'm not a big, what the hell is his name? Not George Clooney, George Lopez. I'm not a big fan of his, but still, he's a funny guy. But yeah, man, I just wasn't digging it. And after the movie, it was funny, like you said, where we start talking about it, because usually we don't talk while the movie's going. And at the end, he's like, yeah, how'd you like it? And these guys are like, oh, man, it was good. It was real funny, this and that. George Lopez, the grandma. And then they turn to me, and I'm like, I didn't like it, man. I didn't like it. And it was just, like, really weird, because it's usually not like that.
I don't blame you. It's not a perfect movie. It's actually got a decent amount of flaws. And like you said, it's a little over the top sometimes with the humor, more focused on that than trying to be, like, just grounded, I guess, in reality. And, you know, I think they kind of dropped the ball on it. It was still a cool concept, but yeah, because he has like this alien Iron Man suit kind of thing, mm-hmm. I thought they could have definitely done more with it, and they just kind of left a lot hanging, I feel.
Yeah, for sure. The movies that I was trying to think about was Tyler Perry. It had like that Tyler Perry flair where it's just like so much over the top comedy that to me a lot of it didn't land. But yeah, I kind of feel bad because I wish I would have liked it. I really dug Shazam, the first one, and even the second one, which a lot of people didn't like the second one. I thought the second one was okay. It wasn't great like the first one. But yeah, man, it just didn't hit me, man. Which is, I don't know if this is one of Gunn's new reboot, if it's under his new helm, or if this is like some of the old James Gunn movies that came out before he kind of took over and rebooted everything. So hopefully it's not one of his new movies, because if this is like a new movie for him, it's not boding well to the future of DC. But, Noel, I think that's enough about me, man. Let's jump up to you. Ooh, some horror stuff, man. You saw the first Omen, the Omen's prequel. I saw something on this, and I dig the original Omen. I think it's a really creepy movie without too much, like, gore. It's just, like, really creepy. So the first Omen, does it live up to the original?
Dude, 100%.
Really?
It's been a while since I've seen like a horror movie that touches on so many good different points. It pays homage to the original. It gives you more context that enriches the original. And it's just overall a good horror movie on its own. But then knowing it's connected to the original Omen, it elevates it to like this another level, man. It's definitely going to be a part of my physical media collection once it comes out in 4K. I hope it does, at least. And I don't want to spoil it, because I know, I mean, you've seen the original Omen, so I'm pretty sure you might be open to watching this one. So I don't want to spoil it, but I mean, you can kind of guess what the gist of it is going to be. It's if it's a prequel, it means it's like, how did it lead up to Damian being born and existing and all that Antichrist stuff. And so you get to see, you know, the cultish backstory to it. And yeah, you get to see how Damian was, you know, like how he came about. And it starts off with this nun. And yeah, I don't want to spoil it, so it's hard to really go into detail. And but it's there's a good amount of depth to it. And you get to realize, like, Damian had a long line before him. He's not the first, but he is one of the most important ones. But there's been a long line of stuff going on to lead to that. And yeah, it's pretty dark. It's also set in Italy, so it's really got this cool European Italian vibe to it. Especially if you like the old horror Italian movies, like, it's got that feel to it. It's kind of hard to, like, really word how it's got a unique feel. It's the best I could say. And it's not even that long either. It's under 2 hours, I believe. It's like maybe around an hour 40 or so. And what else can I really say without spoiling it?
So since it's a prequel, I imagine it's base or its time setting is older. And then you said it's in Italy. So I would imagine it's got like an old vibe, like horse carriages. Does it go that far back, or is it somewhat modernish?
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the 70s. So it's, I think if I'm remember correctly, 71. So right around the time that Damian was born, because I think when we see Omen 1, which came out in 76, he was already having like his fifth birthday or something like that. Okay. So I think, yeah, he was born in 71, and that's what the year, this, you know, time period is, this 1971. And yeah, it definitely, they did good on representing that era, like the cars and the culture and the way people are dressed. And, you know, there's like a disco scene that's actually pretty dark, and it leads to like some cultish stuff going on. And yeah, I would say it's really cool, man. Definitely probably give it like an 8 out of 10.
Wow, holy moly. Is there a lot of subtitles reading, people speaking Italian?
I would say there's some Italian, but not enough that you would need subtitles, no. And any little bit that you miss is not going to be like monumentally important. The majority is spoken in English, and you'll have the like Italian people speaking with like an accent, like an Italian accent, but in English.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man. I'm just too dumb to read subtitles too quickly, man. Unless it's a really slow movie. But I, not to sidetrack you, but I downloaded Fist of the North Star. They made like a prequel movie to the animated movie, and I haven't popped it in yet to watch it because I'm kind of scared. I'm like, man, with me finding it online, is this a Japanese dub or is it English dub? Am I gonna have to read a ton of subtitles? I'm like, oh man, hopefully it's English dub and I don't gotta do a ton of reading.
Yeah, man. You know, I can't really relate because I like subtitles, but
right,
you know, it's one of those things, man, to each their own. And hopefully with practice, you know, it'll become easier for you to be like acclimate to the subtitles, especially because like if you were to watch, let's say, a Spanish movie, right? Like, well, one of the greater, you know, older Mexican movies, would you want to watch that in English dubbed and sounding all weird? Or would you want to watch it in Spanish because you understand Spanish, right? I'm pretty sure you'd probably want to watch it in the original language, especially because you understand it. Now, the only reason, I guess, because the Japanese, you don't understand it, neither do I, but we're missing so much of what was originally intended and created to be portrayed when you switch the languages. You know, originally, it's like the original actors. If you watch Avengers in like Italian, it's like Tony Stark is not Italian, so it's going to sound weird. It's not going to sound like, you know, Robert Downey Jr. So everything right. that was recorded, you have to throw it out the window because now it's these newer actors, these Italian actors saying in Italian. There's so much to be missed is what I'm trying to say.
No, for sure. And I totally agree. I can't even really argue against it because I tell Alana sometimes because I'll text something and she'll be like, when I'll get home, we'll speak more on it. And she'll be like, you meant this and this. And I'm like, no, I didn't mean that at all. And she's like, oh, that's what I read from your text. And I'm like, it's so weird that you can't express the dialect through a text message. And the same has to be with hearing something in a different language. You might not be able to hear the tone of the person, and maybe they don't read the line the same way, and it could drastically change the way the movie feels.
Yeah. Now, that's not always the case, but yeah, most of the time I feel that's how it is. But there are a few things where they do have good voice actors, like from Japanese to English. There's some good English voice actors. But, you know, it's one of those things, especially with Fist of the North Star. I've already seen the original show. I've seen the original movie. And I've seen it in English and in Japanese. And the Japanese, man, there's some, like, authentic part of it that it's just, like, I could really vibe with it. But
I'm getting used to it because ever since I moved into this house, I don't know why, but I just started getting used to watching everything with subtitles, even English stuff. I was just mentioning how I watched Star Wars, The Clone Wars. I just leave subtitles on for everything now. Subtitles are always rolling, except if it's like the news or something. But any kind of movie I'm watching, any kind of TV show I'm watching, the subtitles are just on.
Yeah, it's good to have, especially in moments of like a show where maybe it's really quiet or like they're whispering or you can't really hear it because there's like background noise in the house or something. That's happened to me so many times, and somebody's walking by and talking on the phone while I'm watching something, and like I miss a word or two, and if there's no subtitles, I have to rewind it. I'm like, what the heck did they say? Like,
right.
And then, so subtitles sometimes they come in handy, but yeah, man, the first Omen, dude, I do recommend it. And again, there isn't too much subtitles, so I think it's gonna be right up your alley. And moving on, dude, I actually finally got around to beating two different games. The first one, Spider-Man 2, I might have mentioned it before. I was playing it, and it was really cool to see Venom, see Carnage, and just the story that they had going. While there was a little more Miles Morales than I wanted, it ended up fitting into the story. It ended up like melding well with Peter, and you could see that they're kind of trying to give the torch to Miles Morales. But I don't think we're done with Peter quite yet. Some people are speculating they're going to kill him off in the next game. I don't think that's the case. I think that the way it ended, and I'm not going to spoil it, but like it's kind of like easy to see that that's where they're going, is that Peter is going to just kind of focus more on his personal life for a bit and kind of give Miles Morales a chance to shine. That's not to say that Peter Parker can't take up the suit again and join the fight, though. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the there was an Insomniac leak. They talked about what the next game is going to be. And I guess Venom is a proposed like a sub game, kind of like Miles Morales was in between Spider-Man 1 and 2. So supposedly there's going to be a Venom game in between.
Dude, I'm all for that. That'd be freaking cool. You actually do get to play as Venom for a bit in Spider-Man 2. And yeah, it was really fun, man. It was really cool because you get to be the Spider-Man with the Venom suit, but then you also get just Venom itself and play as Venom. Like, and you get to mess people up, dude. It was freaking cool, man. I actually took a bunch of screenshots. I don't know if you can see them on the PS5 friends list or whatever, but.
I'm going to have to check them out. Yeah, I take screen captures on occasion, but I don't usually send them out. I just kind of look at them, and then when I get down on space, I just start deleting them all. But yeah, man, it's definitely cool to play a game that's very well done fidelity-wise and take some good screen captures and kind of reminisce to some of the cool moments.
Yeah, no, there was definitely that, man. It's and it feels like a next-gen game. It was smooth, looked great, ran great, very cinematic feel to it. And I put in maybe around 30 hours or so in it. And I don't know if there's going to be a DLC or anything, but I think for now I'm pretty much wrapped up on that. And so after I beat Spider-Man 2, I moved on to Red Dead Redemption number 1, which, to be honest, man, it was kind of like a jump back in terms of the graphical quality, because it's Red Dead Redemption 1 is a PS3 game that was remastered on PS4. But on the OLED and the PS5, like upgrading it, it actually looked really good and it looked really smooth. The quality was still there. It was playable for sure. And it ran at 60 frames a second, whereas I think on the PS3 it was like 30 frames or if PS4.
That. Yeah, it's probably even lower. It probably tried 30, but it probably hit like 20 more often.
Yeah, that's why I was really excited about this one on PS5. I'm like, 60 frames, it looks good. Let me give it a go. And I remember you playing it on the PS3 way back, you know, when that it was like, what, 08 or something like that. And I, you know, to be perfectly honest, man, I didn't think I was going to like it, because when I saw you playing it, it was cool. And I was like, yeah, this is good enough. I'll watch you play it and then I'm good. Like, I don't need to actually put the time in myself and play it. It's not that I'm not a fan of Wild West. It's that it's not like it's not as important to me. Like I don't have that connection with the Wild West the way others do. And so I was never in a hurry to play it. But then I do like Rockstar games, and I have played the GTAs. I'm like, you know what? Let me give it a shot. And I was pleasantly surprised, man. I ended up really liking it, and I grew to like the story, the character, and they actually had a good story like in it. And you know, just like most Rockstar games, like GTAs, you pretty much have, you know, your choices to live however you want to live. You know, just devastate the whole town if you want, you know, freaking start a riot and a war, or you could follow, you know, the goody two shoes route and just do your missions and all that and help people out. So I did a little blend of that stuff, and it was fun, man. It was just a fun game, cool story. I will say it definitely, the game mechanics, you could see where it started at, and you could see how they built on the game mechanics in the newer games. Because it's kind of a bigger world where you're riding your horse, and because the horse can only go so fast, I felt like, man, this is taking me a while to get place to place. And then I did finally get like the campsite or whatever, and you could set up so you can fast travel. But I'm like, they got to make it easier. Like, why can't I just fast travel without having to set up a camp? Like, I get that's a cool little mechanic, and it's a cool little cutscene where you're like camping and then you just hit X twice and you get to your waypoint. But in Spider-Man, I was so used to like hitting the map, hitting the spot, fast traveling, boom. And it's cool to do that later on in the game, because you've already explored everything. Like, I don't want to re-explore what I've already explored. So towards the end of the game, I was fast traveling a lot.
Yeah, I think that's pretty normal to fast travel towards the end of the game. At the start, I tended to not fast travel. I just played Red Dead Redemption 1, the remaster that you're talking about, a few months ago. And at first, I wouldn't fast travel at all because I wanted to see those in-between missions. Because sometimes you just be riding to your next mission and there'll be some commotion. You'll go check it out and there's a guy getting robbed and you'll intervene. And then there's a guy where his wife is getting hung and you go over there and try to help. And you know, there's like always like this like middle stuff that's going on in between the world, which makes the whole world seem more alive. And so I didn't want to miss those. And where if you fast travel, you miss a lot of those in between missions or little situations that are happening in the world.
That's very true, man. It does have like a good aspect to that where it feels like a real world as you're traveling, like you said, in multiple different areas, going to your next mission. You'll find like just a bunch of random situations, people getting robbed or murdered or whatever. And yeah, you can help them out. So that you're right. It is cool for that regard in that regard. But I just felt towards the end, I was like tired of spending. It's because part of it is I have limited time. And so like right. During the week, I'm trying to play. I could only play for an hour and a half, 2 hours. So I'm just like, man, like I just don't want to spend 30 to 40 minutes of my 2 hours just traveling, you know.
Yeah. No, it's understandable. Towards the end of the game, I was fast traveling. Once I saw that the in the middle missions were less frequent, and they were mostly the same things over and over again. I stopped doing them, especially once I discovered the whole map, and you kind of went everywhere in the map, and you took off that fog thing that kind of blocks new areas that you're exploring. I was just like, all right, now I could fast travel a little bit more to just speed up the process. But yeah, I don't know what game you're picking up next, but Red Dead Redemption 2 is probably a definitely must. Man, it's just awesome, man. It's so much better than part one, and it's going to build on everything. You didn't play Red Dead Redemption 2, right? Or did you?
No, and I'm contemplating getting that on the PC once okay. I upgrade my PC. So I might hold off because I want to play 4K, and I don't know if the PS5 can handle Red Dead Redemption 2 4K. So I'm hesitant to get it yet. Not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's, man, Rockstar, man, those guys, they love leaving money on the table. They're so much of a perfectionist. I don't understand why they don't release a PlayStation 5 patch for Red Dead Redemption 2. Because you're right. Right now, you would have to play it 1080 or maybe it's 1440. And then it's only 30 frames per second because it's a PlayStation 4 game. And it only upscales it slightly on the PlayStation 5. It makes it better and more of a lock frame 30, but man, I wish they would release a PlayStation 5 patch to make it that much better. I've had an itch to play Red Dead Redemption 2 again, but I'm waiting, but man, Rockstar probably will never release it. That's just the way they are sometimes.
Yeah, it's a shame, man, but you never know though, because GTA 5, they released it like 3 or 4 times already, dude.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was what, original PS3, then the PS4, then the PS5. It's like, sheesh. So
yeah, I don't know if all hands are on deck for Grand Theft Auto 6 or whatever they're up to now.
Yeah, I heard about that. I think they're saying what, 2025 or 2026?
Yeah, like, it's definitely like a next year, I think I heard. So
yeah, you know, that one too, I might want to get on PC, man. And this is the thing, you know, PS5, I'm enjoying it, man. I do like it. I use it for multiple things, movies and all that. But I can see that the games are catching up to, like, the limitations of the PS5. And it's just getting harder to keep up the frame rate, keep up the graphical intensity. And I'm feeling like, man, that's why they're coming out with the Pro. And then they're going to be coming out with the PS6 in a couple years. So I'm like, maybe I'll just get the PC and, you know, play what I got now, play some other stuff maybe on PS5, but in terms of like the new gen, like the new good games like Red Dead Redemption 2, stuff like that, GTA 6, whenever that comes out, yeah, I'll probably get that on PC, I think.
Cool. Yeah, no, I definitely think that's why the PlayStation 5 Pro is talked about more and more now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly why, dude. It's they're getting to the limitations, and it's not keeping up the way it was when they first released the games. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for games. I think the next one, my cousin Ismael was telling me that I should play The Last Guardian, and I have it on for the PS4 game, but I'm gonna try it on PS5, and yeah, let's see how it goes, man. That'll be the next one.
Yeah, hopefully you have a little bit of patience. It's definitely one of those, you know, kind of like Duke Nukem that took like 10 years for it to finish. It just went through development hell. I enjoyed it myself. I thought it was good. It was like a 6 game. But if you go with those expectations, like it's not going to be the best thing ever, I think you'll have a good time. And to me, it runs a little poorly at times, and the camera gets kind of stuck. It kind of shows that why it went into development hell. But if you like Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, it's definitely up there.
Yeah, actually, I do have Shadow of the Colossus. And while I haven't beat that one yet, I do plan to play it and beat it sometime. But yeah, The Last Guardian, I'm like, all right, let me give it a shot. You know, he's been telling me to play this for years. You know, he played it back on the PS4. So, and I remember, yeah, you told me that you had beaten it too. And I'm like, you know what, man, maybe it's time. I have it there. So, yeah, I'll fill you guys in on that. But You know, I think that kind of wraps things up for in terms of the week that we both had here. Let's switch it over to the article of the week. All right, so keeping in line with the conversation on video games, we got an article here from Metro. It's the Game Central. And the headline reads, PS5 owners lose access to hundreds of games as digital purchases are wiped from their accounts. This came out March 7th. Our author is Kenneth Anderson. And so when I saw this, man, immediately, like, it got my attention. I'm like, what the heck's going on? Just to kind of sum it up, a strange bug is removing people's games on PlayStation 4 and 5 and Vita, and Sony doesn't have a fix. And so it looks like it started where at least 50 PlayStation owners have reported that the digital games are going missing. One affected by the bug went on Reddit to explain what's going on and vent their frustration that they can no longer access some of their games, in a post that has attracted others with the same problem. For the last few months, there's been a bug impacting a relatively small amount of PlayStation Network users, in which all their digital licenses, including purchased games and titles added to one's library via PlayStation Plus, they become decoupled from your transaction history, which shows you purchased those things. So essentially, it wipes the games from your account, and it makes it so that you can't even re-download the missing games, and PlayStation won't even be able to see that you bought the games. It's like it's wiped from your history of purchasing it. So even if you do maybe bring up the complaint, they're not going to be able to verify, oh, did you buy this or not? And it's going to be harder and harder to be able to give those games back to you. And so these are like, another poster pleaded for answers, saying they've lost access to over 400 games after trying to restore them once the bug hit their account. So it looks like after they were trying to restore the games, because I guess you can do that if something happens or a glitch or whatever, there's a thing you can hit so that it restores the game and like re-downloads it. And when they were trying to do that is when it actually wiped it all out. So they had lost access, and then once they tried to reinitialize, they lost it completely and more than likely will not be able to get that back. And so Sony doesn't really have a solution at this time that I'm aware of. Actually, this morning was looking to see if there was a resolution, just because it's been about almost a month of the day. Wow, March 7th to April 7th. So it's been a month, and I have yet to see any resolution to this. We'll see how that goes. But right now, they're just saying if you have this bug, they advise against trying to restore the licenses, and they believe that's what triggered the bug in the first place. So I guess if you do come across this, just hold tight. Don't reinitialize or restore the license, and just, you know, bring it up to Sony's attention and see if they could at least make a list of the games you do have, so that if you do end up, you know, wiping it or whatever, they can restore it for you down the line. That's the most that I can see that people are recommending. But for now, I don't see a fix. We'll see what Sony does. But I'm throwing it over to you, Daniel. What do you think about this, man? You've been a digital owner, right?
Yeah, I don't own too many digital games, but there's definitely things that come on sale, and I'm like, I could really have it like a hard disk, but I'll just buy it digital because it's $5 digitally, and a hard disk is $25. So then I do lean that way. But yeah, I do tend to try to buy physical media as much as I can. But stuff like this does scare me. I mean, one of the enticing, and I mentioned it earlier in our conversation, one of the enticing things about having a PlayStation Plus membership is that you get free games all the time. We just got Sifu, which is a smaller type game, but a lot of people really dug it. So when I'm looking for these like in the middle games, I usually lean towards my digital library to see what is there, something in there that I could play for a couple weeks, finish it, and then jump onto something a little bigger and something a little meatier that'll keep me busy for a while. So the thought of losing your digital library is scary. And you know, before you got to that point of, you know, restoring the licenses, that's things that I've done before. especially when I transitioned over from my PlayStation 4 to the PlayStation 5, it's one of the first things you do is you restore the license so I could pick up all the licenses in the background to make sure everything comes over to your new console. And even when I got the PlayStation 4 Pro, I did the same thing so that all your licenses come into the new console and it restores everything so that you can play all your digital games. So yeah, I know you were just kind of skimming through the article, bringing everybody up to speed, but there's a little blurb about the thing that happened with Discovery a few months back, and I think we talked about it on the podcast, where games were eliminated, mostly videos, as far as like Mythbusters and stuff like that, things people purchased with their money, and it got removed and you no longer had access to it. So things like this are scary. It's a future that's coming up because digital sales are becoming more prominent. I think it was last year was the first year that digital games surpassed physical media in video games. So it's becoming more and more to where more people do it. It's a convenience. People don't want to go get up and swap in and out games. To me, I like my physical media because in a few years, I get tired of it. My little cubby hole where I keep my games, I get tired. I'll just grab it, take it to GameStop, and they'll give me $50 for it. So then I'll trade them in and get something for it, and I'll pick up a game or two. So to me, I like physical media. It was actually something that I was going to talk to you, like any games that you've mentioned that you played, like the Final Fantasy. If you're done with it and you're not about keeping it on your shelf forever, hey, I'll give you a few bucks and take it off your hands. So you don't have those options when it's digital. So to me, I've always been a physical media guy. So hopefully this won't impact me as much in the future, but it's definitely a future that's coming.
You're 100% on it, man. It's a shame like that it is going that way. I've always been a big, you know, fan of physical media. While I do have like some digital movies and some digital stuff, I think Spider-Man number one I have digitally because it came with Miles Morales. That's why I got the Miles Morales game, because it's like bundled up with it. So I was like, all right, it's the one and only real digital game aside from, I guess, Astro's Playroom or whatever that it comes with. But I'm not a big fan of digital, mainly because you technically, like you said, you don't really own it. You can't transfer it. You can't sell it. So you're buying something that it's stuck on your system forever, or, you know, that's it. And now that people are losing their games, or, you know, a handful, 50 people or whatever, lost their games, while it is a small percentage, it could be larger. It could be a problem down the line that's bigger. We don't know, right? This came out of nowhere. Who's to say something like this can't come out of nowhere again? And if we're moving to all digital and less physical, let's say the PS6 is only digital, then what if an issue like this happens and everybody loses their games? Like, well, we're just going to be stuck without games and without being able to get them back. Does that lead to lawsuits? Does that lead to just bigger and bigger headaches? And I've seen people say, like, you know what, if purchasing doesn't mean ownership, then piracy doesn't mean theft. And, you know, I was never big on trying to do anything like that. But if this is the way the companies are trying to go with, and they're not going to honor, you know, like the contract of if it's really not like you own it, then yeah, man, I guess people are going to have to find their means of getting it, you know, without having to spend their hard earned money on something that, you know, can be taken away so easily.
Right. I know I think it was like a few months ago, the Ubisoft director or one of their directors came out and said, you know, just like people had to get accustomed for CDs and DVDs to no longer be in their libraries because everything is digital, Netflix, you know, Hulu, whatever. He's like, video games are going to have to go down that curve where people are just going to have to get used to that. You're not going to own these things. These things are only viable while the systems are running. And as soon as the system's gone, you no longer have access to it. And I think eventually people will just deal with it. I don't think many people will get too upset, because it happens now with music. You know, as soon as you lose your subscription to iTunes, you lose the access to the millions of songs that they have, and people kind of like, oh, whatever, I'll resubscribe in a few months or next year, and they just deal with it. And I think similarly in video games, it's going to be something that happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the shame too, is that it's those people that want to deal with it or are willing to deal with it that make it harder for everyone else that don't want to, because they become the majority, they become the people that are catered to. And so people that are like digital, you know, I guess, what do you want to say, renters? Because if you don't really own it, you're technically what you pay for, a license, right, for temporary use as long as they allow. And yeah, dude, I'm not about that, man. I've seen an article recently about how there's like a Blu-ray that they're coming out with. I think China's making it, that can store like more than terabytes. Like, it's the next level. I think petabyte or something like that. It's the next level above terabytes. And it could store just a massive amount of information on one disc, because it's like multi-layered. And the way they do it, it's like, yeah, it's insane. Like, the technology is evolving. So it does get people to think, like, what if, you know, the newest games systems utilize these kind of discs, which are still like Blu-rays, but just thicker discs, you know? Because then maybe you could fit all the games on there completely.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, to me, I'm a physical guy, and I know you're even more so. You got shelves of games and movies. And, you know, I was like that as well when I was younger. And now that space is a commodity as well, you know, I only have so much room in my house. I can't have a ton of stuff. So when I moved, there was a bunch of DVDs that I just got rid of. I took to Goodwill. I gave a few away. I threw a few away. And it was just like, I don't have room for all this stuff, especially where it's like, it's Matrix Part 1. And you're just like, I could watch this anywhere. I'm sure if I turn on Netflix, it's on there. If not, I could find a digital, you know, place that I could find it. So you do take those decisions and just kind of deal with not owning hard copies of things. But then sometimes it's difficult. I just the other day, I was trying to look for, I felt like watching American Me, and dude, I cannot find my DVD copy. And I thought I had one. And then I started like, well, let me see if I could find a digital copy. I'll just download something or find something somewhere. I could not find that movie anywhere. And then the movie that I did find, it was a real shitty, like 720 copy. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll do this. And when I watched it, I noticed it. And I'm like, oh man, this sucks that this is the way I got to watch it. I'm like, it's a real shitty quality where I know I got the DVD somewhere, but, or maybe it was part of the stuff I got rid of. Who knows? But it sucks to have to deal in a digital world where you can't see the things because you don't own it.
Yeah. And then actually another thing with streaming and digital, depending on your method and the source, there's compression, there's like buffer, there's lag, and the quality doesn't always buffer, you know, 100% the whole time. Especially if you're in an area where the internet's not as strong. So if you're in the mountains, for example, how are you going to stream? You know, it's going to be pretty hard. The reception's probably not going to be that great. And so it's going to look grainy or, you know, compressed and distorted. Whereas this is the reason I got the PS5, is to, you know, procure my physical media library, specifically in horror, with a little bit of, like, you know, other stuff, martial arts and sci-fi and all that. But specifically in horror, I've pretty much completed my collection. And every time I play the disc, and I will have like a digital copy to compare it to, I'm like, yeah, dude, the disc is just superior, man. There's no compression. It's fully showing you the what is intended to be, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. It definitely is the way to watch things rather than streaming it on, you know, Hulu or whatever, or even watching it on TV, the disc copy is definitely going to be the best. But yeah, man, I just think we got to get used to it. I don't know if you read, but there was a leak on the next Xbox. This happened a few months ago as well, where the next Xbox console is going to be digital only. They're already getting the parts together. They're already speccing out their next system. I mean, just like PlayStation is. And it was leaked that they are not going to invest into some kind of disc drive. And it doesn't even sound like an attachable disc drive. So it's just going to be digital. They're going to increase the hard drive space so that people could store their games. They're investing a ton into cloud gaming so that you won't even have to have digital space, because a lot of the computing will be in some kind of cloud server. So yeah, the future is definitely going to go more and more into digital, which I don't like. And I know the conversation is about digital games, but we were talking GameStop. Their earnings just came out a few weeks ago and they were below earnings. So the CEO had to talk about how they're laying off so many people. They're closing a couple stores just to keep the business up running. And who knows, is there even going to be a place where you can buy used games, or you can trade in, or you can keep the physical media going? Walmart, Best Buy, stores like this, they stop carrying a lot of physical games. You go to some of those stores and their shelves are empty. Some of them just have like cards where they're like, yeah, here, download this game. Here's, you know, the latest BioShock game or whatever, you know, just buy it here. So it's like, it sucks, man. I don't like it. I don't like all this digital stuff. I like having my physical copy just to give me the option to turn something back in for a few bucks.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now, with Xbox, I'm not really concerned. Although, I mean, it is concerning in terms of the industry as a whole. Specifically Xbox, I'm not concerned, because most of their stuff is available on the computer, on PC, because like it's Windows, right? Like Microsoft is essentially, the Xbox is essentially like a Windows limited PC. So if you have a PC that's capable, you could play all the Xbox games on there. And if you have Steam, you could download it through there too. And the good thing about Steam is you don't really, there's much more reliability with Steam than there is with anything else. So I would trust Steam that if I buy my games on there, you know, it's not going to be deleted, you know, a year from now if they lose the license. Once you have it and it's yours forever. And so my hope is that they'll do the same for Sony. And once Sony starts putting their stuff on, you know, the Steam, which they're already starting to do, then, you know, the next generation, or maybe the generation after, maybe they'll still come out with the PS6. But then after that, they could just focus on making good games, dude. And they don't have to make consoles, because it's really essentially not needed anymore, man. If you have a good PC, that's your console. You just need, you know, to buy the games, which, of course, would probably be digital. But again, if it's on Steam, I'm all for it, man, because I can trust them.
Right. No, I think mostly the console gamers just prefer the ease, because I've gamed on PC before and there's driver issues. There's some kind of graphics problem. There's some kind of update that something isn't working. Junior, for a long while, he couldn't play Grand Theft Auto because the install, something happened, he reinstalled it and some file got corrupted, and dude, it was a ton of back and forth until finally he was able to get it to run. And you just don't run across those issues on a console. You just put in the disc and maybe do the latest update patch if you haven't played it in a while, and that's it. You just jump in and you start gaming. So it's definitely for the ease of gaming, but you're right, I think sooner or later there won't be a PlayStation 8 or whatever, and there won't be an Xbox, you know, 7 million or whatever the next one's called. So I think it is going to be a future that's coming, but I definitely dig my console gaming. So we'll just have to get used to it, I guess, or get used to the idea of it coming soon.
Yeah.
But for all you guys out there, we'd like to thank you all for listening, man. Just like gaming will eventually end physical, I guess this episode's done. Remember to follow Freeform Network on X at Freeform Network. Send in those questions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Visit that webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you're going to see all of our links for all our different platforms. Hit that like and subscribe on whichever one that you're using. We really appreciate it, and it does really help our numbers. But for Freeform Radio, we got Noel.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, and I'm Daniel. It's a funny future. We'll have to see if digital lasts. And we didn't even talk about it, man, but the eclipse thing that's coming. This might be our last podcast. They're saying the world's going to end, that the eclipse is going to happen, and then in a blink of a light, it's over. So this might be our last recorded episode. So it's been good so far.
It's been a nice run, man. But yeah. Whatever happens, we're just going to have to deal with it.
For sure. So we just got a little dark and gloomy, but don't worry. We'll be back in a few weeks to lighten up the world again. Thank you.
Dad.